The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so shop now with BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Fresh Pick Suds Flower Soap Gift Pack. A selection of pretty flower soaps and a host of delicate floral scents, and you can carry your flower soaps with you in an adorable little reusable vinyl bag. Only $12 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
You'll get back here, you pass-killing sidewinder. In no way that nobody's gonna leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here. And dadgummit, I'm gonna die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker crocker is gonna roll my biscuit cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
It is Thursday, January 21, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hey there.
We are bitter clinging proud clingers.
Right winging bitter clinging proud clingers.
Dear God, I swear. Just, she's just a freaking lunatic.
Jesus God. Yeah, I've been waiting for this show since Tuesday.
She is just stupid on a stick.
All right, we are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you want free legal advice, head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or just click the link of the podcast page. Takes you right there.
Right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's right up there. I would say there's the position flexible quote.
The position flexible.
And then there's this.
Right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
God.
That is art. It's... I mean, really, she should win some sort of award for performance art if she was intending to sound like that, but I don't think she does. I just think she's just that stupid. Bitter clinging, proud clinger.
Right clinging, oh, yeah, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
Okay, so look, obviously we're going to talk about Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump from Tuesday. We were actually doing the show on Tuesday when this all went down. One of the disadvantages of doing the show in the middle of the afternoon is sometimes things happen.
We missed out on live comedy gold.
Yeah. And when we dialed it in on the show, I know we did that, and it was still Donald Trump yammering on and on about Sarah Palin, doing her introduction. And if we just waited a few more minutes, we could have had this live.
Right winging, bitter clinging, proud clingers.
That doesn't make any sense.
Does anyone know? It's
the funny thing about both of them. Is that certainly Sarah Palin, I think in an effort to prove that she don't need no teleprompter.
Yeah.
They both just talk off the cuff. And that's right. Why they both ramble like idiots.
Yeah. And it was like, as Stephen Colbert said last night, we got all the greatest hits. We got You Betcha. We got Hopey Changey.
Yeah.
You got all the Sarah Palin things.
Absolutely. Because to her, that's like, it's like the Stones going out and playing Satisfaction and Jumpin' Jack Flash. She's got a series of greatest hits that she knows her audience wants to hear.
Yes. And of course.
They're catchphrases. Like, she's going to say them, and the whole audience, yeah, the audience Vince goes crazy.
And you know, watch.
It's like second or third season of Different Strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
When Arnold would say, "What you talking about, Willis?" And the whole freaking studio audience would go mad.
Yeah, it's like the Fred Willard character with the, "Hey, what happened?
Hey, what happened?"
It's like her catchphrase. She's got to always do the catchphrase.
Hey, what happened?
But of course, she's going to add this to her repertoire now because everyone's making fun of it. She's going to take the whole thing as a badge of honor. And now, from now on, she's going to deliberately say...
Right-wing and bitter clinging proud clingers.
Because everyone's making fun of it. That's the
doesn't
way...
even make any sense. The it broad- just doesn't even make any sense.
Here's how everything started out on Tuesday. With Sarah Palin's endorsement speech for Donald Trump.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be in Iowa. We're God. Here just gone out. Todd and I and a couple of our friends here from Alaska lending our support for... the next president of our great United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Mr. Trump, you're right.
Oh, my God.
Look back there in the press box.
Oh, my God. That
heads
that
are
octave.
Spinning.
Yeah.
Media heads are spinning.
Media heads
this
are spinning.
This is going to be so much fun. Are you ready to make America great again?
Of course, it's like the voice is like a dog whistle, and it's the screechiness.
Spine to glass.
I know.
Spine to glass.
Yeah. I mean, that's like one thing. It's like the shrieky. She's got the screechy, shrieky voice.
Shrill baby shrill.
Shrill baby shrill. That's exactly right. Now, no one's told her. You know, you might want to take it down a couple octaves because you're cracking glass. You're making, you know, dogs go bananas. It's like they're just, as soon as she starts talking, the dogs go nuts. And they just hate that. The dogs hate Sarah Palin's voice.
No, the dogs go nuts for the same reason that the dogs in The Thing went nuts.
Right. So, let's just dive in. Okay, there were so many great little bits and pieces from this speech, because as you said, because she has to make fun of Barack Obama using a teleprompter, like every politician ever... She refuses to use one, but only occasionally. Like yesterday, when she's got a teleprompter joke in the speech, she gets rid of the teleprompters, and then it completely flummoxes her. So what ends up happening is she's reading off of a, you know, prepared remarks in front of her, but she's not good enough to be able to look down and deliver a speech, you know, keep up the momentum and the flow of the speech by looking at her notes and then making eye contact with the audience or the cameras or whatever the case may be. So consequently, she does lots of stupid things, like the use of the word squirmishes.
Nations who are oil rich, we're paying for some of their squirmishes that have been going on for centuries.
It's like refutiate. She just makes up these words.
Squirmishes.
She just, you know, and it's like, it's great comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I got to give Colbert a load of credit because the material girl line was hilarious.
Yeah, that's
such a great thing to call her.
Line.
But at the same time, it just angers me that this is where we are. That yesterday was really sort of, Tuesday, pardon me, was really sort of the nadir of American politics, certainly yeah. Republican politics.
Right.
I mean, the idea that she's sitting up there screeching and like, I think the way I referred to it in the post I put up about Patton Oswalt is she's just spitting out a series of random nouns, verbs, and adjectives like she's a broken speak and spell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if you walk into a bumper sticker store and just start reading the bumper stickers.
Yeah, and she's just throwing out, you know, she begins thoughts and then they just die on the vine within like a split second and to go absolutely nowhere. And meanwhile, as she's doing all this, she's screeching like an idiot.
Yeah.
You've got Donald Trump looking bemused standing next to her.
I know. I know, and he has to know how much of an idiot she
absolutely
is.
Absolutely knows.
Oh, God, you know what it's actually like? It's like someone reading the bumper stickers in a novelty store, but they're reading it while they're on LSD. That's what Sarah Palin sounds like. Like, here's another example of what you're talking about here.
And he who would negotiate
dills,
kind of like with the skills.
What is with the dills thing? Is that like a colloquial, like a regional colloquialism? Like they say deals as if to say dills?
I don't know.
That's new. I mean, that's new as of the last 6 months or so. That's nothing that she used to say. I swear to God, she never used to say dills.
Right.
Goddamn hell.
Dills. Kind of with the skills of a community organizer, maybe organizing a neighborhood tea.
Oh, look, they're bringing up the community organizer because that's not old.
Right.
It's like, you know, on top of everything else, get some new material.
Yeah.
Get some new material.
Yeah.
This the same crap. It's kind of like what they're doing with Clinton,
mm-hmm.
where they bring up stuff from Hillary's past 20 years ago.
35 years ago, yeah.
Get some new material. It is like, I think I've used this reference before, it's like the final maybe year of Johnny Carson's time on the air,
yeah.
when he was still referencing, you know, Lon Chaney.
Yeah, exactly.
Shecky Green.
Uh-huh.
You know, Shecky Green, you know, still making references that were so outdated.
Yeah, and then she was up there talking about, I mean, she even referenced Greek columns. How many people remember the Greek column fiasco?
Yeah.
I mean, I think very few. And it goes back to the 2008 Democratic Convention when they made a set for the stadium portion of the convention because Barack Obama required a stadium for his acceptance speech, a right. goddamn football stadium, because there were too many people who needed to be in there. So as part of the set, there were some columns that made it look like the inside of the White House.
Right.
And this was a big effing deal. They made That's a right. huge deal over the fact that there were simulated columns in the background.
Yeah. Like he's an emperor.
And then, of course, we
never mind the fact that, like you said, there are columns in the White House.
I know. And, you know, the rest of us had to go around swatting it down by posting pictures of basically every member of the U.S. Congress posed in front of Greek columns in one way or another, you know. But none of that matters. Doesn't matter at all.
And it, you know, it bothers me. We've talked about this a couple of times now, that they are still, they're not running against Hillary Clinton or even Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
They're running against Obama. They're right. still beating up on Obama. All of them. That's all they do.
Yep. And it's the same old stuff. They're treating Barack Obama as if he's running for re-election, first yeah. of all. Second of all, they're diving into the effing Greek columns, the teleprompters. I mean, all of this stuff was mentioned in Sarah Palin's thing. Greek columns, teleprompters, Hopi Changey, community organizing. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been president of the United States for the last 7 years. I think, you know, he can graduate beyond the community organizer career path.
Well, I think that's
in the eyes of the Republicans.
The thing is that they're still treating him as if he is this neophyte, this untested, unknown, who hasn't done anything over the past 7 years.
Yeah, no.
Or, I mean, exactly. Everything he has done has been terrible.
I mean, the guy who ordered the execution of Osama bin Laden is like this feckless dilettante.
Yep.
Who boosts his standing by posing in front of Greek columns. That's the stereotype. Here's a little bit more of Sarah Palin.
Well, he deciding that, no, America would apologize. And as part of the deal, the enemy sends a message to the rest of the world that they capture and we kowtow. And we apologize. And then we bend over and say, thank you, enemy.
Oh, my God.
I feel like her.
Well, they're the dogs. The dogs are going again.
You know, there used to be this rule. Well, not a lot of people know this on MTV Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back at the old episodes, you can see it at play. No shot was ever longer than 4 seconds.
Right.
Go back
oh,
and
yeah.
count, and
oh,
you'll
yeah.
see 1, 2, 3, 4 change. 1, 2, 3. Like that was the thing. I think yeah. that Sarah Palin's brain has the same thing going on where no thought can go longer than, I'll give it about 2 seconds.
Exactly.
Because before something has to interrupt and it has to completely change the direction of what she's saying. So she talks and then there's a comma and then there's, you know, and then there's an aside and then there's yeah. another comma and then there's, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then there's
right wing and bitter clinging proud clingers.
It just doesn't even make any sense. She is just a massive idiot.
I saw this thing on Facebook one day, and it was about the memories of different animals. Like, do animals have a certain degree of memory?
Right. And I read everybody if you're a pigeon and you've got a pea brain, you have a mind like Memento. You lose it in like 2 seconds.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And I was reading like goldfish. Goldfish forget everything that happened like 5 seconds earlier. So goldfish's memories are being reset every 5 seconds.
Imagine what that's like every single time there's this new person looking in, looking in at you. Ah, what is that? Who's that?
Right.
Ah, well, there he is again. Not again. Who's that new person?
Yeah, it's like Mr. Short-Term Memory, that SNL character played by Tom Hanks. It's like he's out on a date and he's eating dinner and then suddenly he's like, oh my God, there's food in my mouth. Like, who put food in my mouth? What, you were just eating dinner. You just did that. Oh, I forgot. I put food in my mouth. And that's what that's like Sarah Palin. Here's a little more of what she said the other day.
Fighting each other and yelling Allah Akbar, calling jihad on each other's heads forever and ever. Like I've said before, let them duke it out and let Allah sort it out.
Yeah, the dogs just go bananas when they hear Sarah Palin. I don't know what to say. Calm down. Now calm down already. For God's sake. All right. Here's this other quote. This is where she got really creepy. When I noticed this, I was like, you know what? Someone should check her crawl space for corpses in clown suits.
I think I know where you're going with this one. It's funny because I can't even remember what she said, but I remember the tone of her voice.
Yeah, it was.
That's nightmare fuel.
One of the lines was, of course, you betcha.
You know what? You guys haven't tried to do that.
Oh, Jesus, God. It's always.
It just hurts to listen to that. Ugh.
That is painful. I mean, for someone, I am like, I don't know what level of hearing loss I have suffered, but I've worn headphones for most of my adult life, whether it's in radio or doing podcasts. And so my hearing is kind of weak. I mean, my hearing has been disintegrated over the years. And when she starts talking, it cuts right through any hearing loss I have. I mean, it just jabs me right in the brain. It's like someone takes a hot poker. Here's a little more, if you can possibly stand it, because this is where it gets creepy.
You know what? You guys haven't tried to do that every day since that night in 08 when I was on stage nominated for VP, and I got to say, yeah, I'll go send me. You betcha. I'll serve.
That's it, right there. Oh, my God. What the hell is that? Oh, yeah, you betcha.
She's the evil anti-Marge. Marge Gunderson.
That's right. You're such a pretty lady. Mike Yanagita from Fargo, who tries to go out on a date with her. Oh, yeah, yeah. I work at Honeywell. For an engineer, you could do a lot worse. Love that accent.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Quiet down.
So when we come back for a break, we're going to talk about how Sarah Palin has now blamed Barack Obama for her son's domestic abuse arrest.
Sarah Palin has so exploited her family. She has so risen to fame on their backs and dragged them into it.
Yeah.
Through reality TV and use of them in her campaign. Her really surprising use of them in her campaign. It was so, stuffed up there in the front that, yeah, I'm sorry, he's absolutely a target.
Oh, yeah, totally. We're going to talk about that after a short break, back right after this. Okay, let's talk about Harry's Razors. One great way to start the new year is by saving money, and I know how to save you a bunch. Go to harrys.com and buy your shaving supplies there. There's a reason stores keep their blades locked in one of those glass cases. It's because they're so overpriced, some people have done bad things to get them. The rest of us just went to the counter and paid too much. But with Harry's, we can all get high-quality, German-engineered 5-blade cartridges delivered to our doorsteps for half the price of Gillette. Half the price, and without leaving the house. Because with Harry's, there's no middleman. The blades go right to you from the factory. And if you use the code REALM at checkout, that's R-E-L-M, Harry's will knock an additional $5 off your first order. I shaved with Harry's this morning, just as I have every day for months, and I couldn't be happier with the quick, smooth, and comfortable shave and with the money I save. I even subscribe to have the blades automatically sent on a schedule I set, and I can adjust it at will. join me and the millions of other guys who have switched to Harry's, and a lot of their wives and girlfriends as well, by the way. First-timers, get this great Harry's razor, three cartridges, a blade protector, and Harry's shave gel for just $10. But only if you check out with the code REALM, R-E-L-M, at harrys.com. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
Right-wing and bitter clinging proud clingers.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show. I'm still feeling it. Every time Sarah Palin starts talking, it's like I'm getting jabbed in the head with a knitting needle. It's just like, ow, ow,
yeah.
Ow, ow.
Yeah, no, she's just a horrible human being.
The funny thing is, I think my big takeaway from the entire endorsement address was she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand that she's not like this rabble-rouser who the Democrats fear. Like, oh my God, Sarah Palin is now like on the scene and she's going to destroy us all. She's going to drive us nuts with her salient quotes and her political
acumen.
She needs
Piper Laurie at home locking her in the house and saying they're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just what it is. Everyone loves when Sarah Palin emerges onto the national stage because she's stupid. And it's funny when she's stupid. That's why. That's why when Sarah Palin pops up, it's like, oh, because she's a big idiot. And so on the same day, was it the same day or was it the next day after Sarah Palin endorsed Donald Trump? Track Palin.
It was the same day that she did the endorsement was the Track Palin incident.
Yeah.
Or at least it coming out, it making news. And then the next day, yesterday, is when Sarah Palin, the queen of personal responsibility, did something
that's
just
right.
Expected, but absolutely mind-bogglingly extraordinary.
Yeah. So, I mean, as the story goes, Sarah Palin's kids keep stealing her spotlight just weeks after single mom Bristol gave birth yet again. RadarOnline.com has learned her son, Track, was arrested for assault and possession of a weapon while intoxicated. According to court documents obtained by Radar, Track, 26 years old, was arraigned in the Palmer Courthouse on charges stemming from an incident in Wasilla, Alaska on Monday, January 18. He was charged with assault in the fourth degree and recklessly injuring, interfering with the report of a domestic violence crime and possession of a firearm while intoxicated. By the way, the firearm? AR-15.
Of course.
AR-15. The Sandy Hook weapon. This is the weapon of choice. This is the most popular firearm in the United States. The AR-15. It was the weapon that Adam Lanza used to kill 20 children in cold blood.
Yeah.
And this is the most popular firearm in the United States.
Of course it is. It's the official weapon of America.
It's good. It's like everyone went out after 9/11 and started buying box cutters and airplane tickets. Yeah. That's what it's like. Everyone goes out, you know, there's a gun massacre with an AR-15. Everyone goes out and buys an AR-15. Oh, hey, he's got a great idea. Let's get one of those AR-15s.
Look, apparently it works.
Look at the stopping power of that son of a bitch.
Mows down college students and teenagers and little kids. Sure, why not?
Yeah. So gotta get my hands on one of those things. Unbelievable. So, of course, Sarah Palin, in her speech on Wednesday, said that the reason Track Palin was arrested and the reason he's having clearly some psychological issues is because of Barack Obama's treatment of veterans. Here's Sarah Palin blaming everything on Obama because, you know, she represents the party of personal responsibility.
I talk about a commander-in-chief who will never leave our men and our women behind. Let me get a little bit personal on this. I'm talking about not leaving our wounded warriors behind also.
Wait, hold on a second. Quiet down, dogs. Enough. Shush. Off. All right. We can continue with this now that the dogs have shut up.
Our wounded warriors who come home from the battlefield bringing new battles with them. Our wounded warriors, sometimes in body and in mind, coming back different than when they left for the war zone. I can talk personally about this. I guess it's kind of the elephant in the room because my own family going through what we're going.
She says elephant in the room in a room full of Republicans.
Exactly.
Going through today with my son.
I promise you both in political affiliation and in volume, that is not the only elephant in that room.
That's right. Something tells me there's quite a few Cheetos consumed among the supporters of Sarah Palin at the Trump rally.
That vet, having served in a striker brigade, fighting for you all, America, in the war zone.
Wait, I missed that part. Is she talking about track?
I think so.
Because wasn't track doing something really half-assed in Iraq?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what his service record was.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to cast aspersions on track service, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do know that that Sarah Palin's very proud of track and will use track, wheel track's name out whenever possible.
Oh, of course.
Show her bona fides when it comes to supporting
the troops.
Exactly. Jesus. By the way, I just wanted to throw this in here just at this point, because I'm listening to the crowd going bananas here over Sarah Palin. You know what her favorability rating is among Republicans? 27%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Look, she represents a very small portion of the Republican Party. She does, honestly. Look, yeah. You know, kind of to their credit.
Right. I mean, and they know that she's an incompetent boob. And that she has no business being on the national stage.
I think that's one of the reasons, though, why you and I have spoken about this a couple of times. We used to talk about it in terms of Ron Paul.
Yeah.
I think that the kind of showings you get at political rallies are somewhat meaningless. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like
sure.
If you have people who are sort of fanatical about your candidacy and fanatical about your cult of personality, they will come from miles around see you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there are a lot of them nationally.
I mean, what's been sort of our election mantra for forever? There are two things that are misleading in elections or predictors of elections. One, yard signs. Two, crowd sizes. You cannot gauge the support of anyone based on those two things. Because, first of all, they can be gamed, especially the yard signs. I mean, we saw that whole battle in Virginia, the governor race in Virginia, where, like, Terry McAuliffe must have put out, like, billions of yard signs up and down the highway and yards and everything. It looked like, oh, my God, Terry McAuliffe is going to walk away with this. But it's just yard signs. Doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean anything that Trump has large crowds or Sarah Palin's drawing large crowds. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because the people who come to a rally are there to see a rock concert. They're not there to potentially vote. It's like anyone who believes that young people are going to vote in a primary election this year, that's some wishful thinking right there. You see, I'm dropping my G's for God's sake.
Wishful but it's
thinking.
Yeah.
Bitter clinging, proud clingers.
Right wing and bitter clinging, proud clingers.
Jesus. Okay, here's a little more Sarah Palin blaming Obama for her son's arrest for domestic violence.
But my son, like so many others, they come back a bit different. They come back hardened. They come back wondering if there is that respect for what it is that their fellow soldiers and airmen and every other member of the military so sacrificially have given to this country.
You know, by the way, it's not 1975.
Yeah.
We live in a different United States where so much deference, and rightfully
absolutely.
So much deference
absolutely.
Is paid to
absolutely.
The troops.
Absolutely. She's making it sound as if Barack Obama is, you know, was personally down at the airport when these people came back spitting in their faces and calling them baby killers.
That's
and
right.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly.
Nobody is doing that.
Yeah.
It's heresy not to basically genuflect before our troops.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But that's an absolute fact about life in America since 9/11.
Yep, exactly. By the way, you know what? I just saw this on Facebook. Someone goddamn trolling me as if, you know, I'm looking for Bernie Sanders to fail. We're going to talk about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton later in the show, or we may even bump it into the postmortem show. But the fact of the matter is, someone posts here on Facebook that there's one poll that's showing Bernie Sanders leading in Iowa. One poll. I think it's the new CNN poll. Okay, it's showing Bernie Sanders leading by 8 points in Iowa. And this person posts here on Facebook, 3 points above the margin of error, !! Wonder if Bob Seska has seen this depressing, parentheses, for him, news yet. Love you, Bob, but love Bernie more. You know what? That's effing stupid.
You.
Seriously, I mean, I don't, at this point, I'm not pushing for Bernie. I'm not pushing for Hillary Clinton. I'm looking at this as an outside observer, all right? And I'm looking at it in a realistic sense. I'm getting off really on a sidetrack here. But this just irritates me. It's not like, okay, yeah, Bernie Sanders is now leading in Iowa. Oh, woe is me. You know, like, oh my God, I'm going to be crushed now. How am I going to eat? How am I going to sleep for the next 2 days knowing that Bernie Sanders is leading in one poll by 8 points? We're going to talk about the latest polls here in a little bit. But yeah, let's get back to the rest of this Sarah Palin thing and then take a break.
And that starts from that the top. It's a shame that our military personnel even have to wonder if they have to question if they're respected anymore. It starts from the top. The question, though,
there it is.
That comes from our own president, where they have to look at him and wonder, do you know what we go through? Do you know what we're trying to do to secure America and to secure the freedoms that have been bequeathed us? So when my own son is going through what he goes through coming back, I can certainly relate with other families who kind of feel these ramifications of some PTSD and some of the woundedness that our soldiers do return with.
By the way, woundedness.
So basically, Track Palin pulled an AR-15 on this girl and then immediately took it back and said, it's that son of a bitch Johnson.
Yeah, it's that son of a bitch Johnson. That's right. Exactly. That son of a bitch. That lying son of a bitch Johnson.
Yeah.
I love the Forrest Gump reference, by the way.
Not my favorite movie, but I have always loved that particular line.
That scene. That lying son of a bitch Johnson.
Because it's such a perfect little illustration of somebody who uses some epically large thing that's bothering them to give that person an excuse for doing something really stupid.
Exactly. Oh my God, you're exactly right.
I'm so upset by the injustice. That's why I tried to rape you.
Well, I mean, they're actually here's the context of all of this. They're simultaneously talking about Barack Obama abusing the troops and then also saying that Barack Obama shouldn't have brought the troops home from Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what they're talking about here. That's the disparity. Un-effing believable. We're going to take a short break and come back and maybe talk about some polls right after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
As always, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon and do it a lot, enter the site using our link just below the logo at bobseska.com and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing extra and it helps support the show. Okay, let's get back into this because I got distracted briefly during the previous segment about the latest polls coming from out of Iowa. Let's talk about this. I wasn't planning to talk about it this soon in the show, but we might as well get into it. Okay. Yes, there's a new poll from CNN showing that, by the way, I've started to call this on my little list of show items here, Bernie v. Hillary, Dawn of Losing the General Election.
Love you, man.
Yeah, the headline from Talking Points Memo, CNN ORC poll, Sanders opens a wide lead over Clinton in Iowa. Bernie Sanders has opened a wide lead over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the Democratic contest in Iowa, according to a CNN ORC poll released Thursday. The poll showed support for Sanders at 51%, while Clinton claimed the support of 43% of respondents. This is a dramatic reversal of the results of the previous CNN ORC poll conducted in December, which showed Clinton beating Sanders 54% to 36%.
Nevertheless, number one, Nate Silver still has Clinton up by five.
Yep.
Secondly, can we really dispense with the idea that Iowa matters? I know. Can we please do that? And I'm not just talking about this because, you know, I want to see Bernie lose. It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's just historically, Iowa's been kind of meaningless.
Right. Well,
think about the people who have won the Iowa caucuses before.
Yeah, especially on the Republican side.
Yeah.
But I mean, according to Nate Silver, Hillary Clinton has gained in her odds of defeating Bernie Sanders in
Iowa specifically.
Hillary Clinton is up to 83% chance of winning.
Okay. Oh yeah, no, you're talking about the percentage rate.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the odds. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got and you know, there's an article at 538 called "Is the Bernie Surge Real?"
Yeah.
And yeah, Nate Silver's like, no, you know what? The odds still look the same.
By the way, the polling average, according to Nate Silver, is now a 7-point spread. It's just under, looks like, 7 points as far as the polling average. So there's that, too. And that might change. I mean, honestly, he could factor in the CNN ORC poll, and the chance of winning goes down for Clinton, sure, up for Sanders. Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility. But at the same time, there's another poll from Talking Points Memo. We should maybe do this music again, because same day, also from today, January 21, Emerson poll, Clinton ahead of Sanders in Iowa by 9 points.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a part of me, as much as I very much stand by what I wrote, you know, about how Bernie is not going to win. I genuinely believe he's never going to win the general election. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But that said, The bickering back and forth,
yes,
is probably really bad for the Democrats. I think you wrote something about that. It's not a good idea. And I'm kind of getting to a point now where I'm like, you know what? I just kind of want to stand back and say, you know what? Let's let the voting happen.
Yeah. Well, here's the result.
I genuinely do. Look, this I won't lie about, though. I mean, I really do think that in spite of that, in spite of, like, look, you know what, let's just let the voters decide. Mm-hmm. I do think that by the time we get around to South Carolina and beyond, the race is almost certainly going to be Clinton's.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, we're a lot of focus is being placed on Iowa and New Hampshire.
The first two things that happen in the contest.
Exactly. And New Hampshire, as we talked about on Tuesday, is a neighboring state to Bernie Sanders' Vermont. So clearly he's going to have an advantage in New England, and there's no doubt about that.
And I think the thing that scares me, though, is the idea that if Bernie loses, especially if he gets trounced,
yep,
it's going to be... There's going to be a lot of pissed off Bernie people out there who will not vote for Clinton.
That's right.
They will not do it.
So, contrast.
And I've even heard people, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've heard people say, you know, people have come on pieces that I've written on the subject over at Banter, and they've said, you know what, that's why logically you have to give it to Bernie. Because basically the argument being, we're a bunch of babies who are going to throw a tantrum and won't vote at all. So you better give us what we want, or, you know, give us what we want and no one gets hurt.
Yeah, that's right. And again, when it comes to the CNN poll or the Emerson College poll, I'll present this caveat, which I don't know, according to Nate Silver, whether either of these polls are reliable polls. Mm-hmm. I mean, either one of these could be outliers. Who knows? Because Nate Silver has this process of, and by the way, Nate Silver is the touchstone. So if you think we're leaning on Nate Silver too heavily, find me an instance when he was wrong, and then I'll concede that to you. But as far as predicting the elections, as far as judging the quality of polling, Nate Silver is the gold standard.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we
go
with this.
Find an instance where he was wrong, and he actually predicted ahead of time that he could be wrong on this.
Right. Clinton has the support of more than half of Iowa Democrats, with 52% of respondents intending to vote for her. By contrast, support for her, that would be caucus for her, by the way. By contrast, support for Sanders stood at 43%, and support for former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley at 3%. This is good news for Clinton, who led in nearly all Iowa polls conducted in the fall, but saw that lead slip away in January after a surge in support for Sanders. The same surge corresponded to a collapse in Clinton's numbers in New Hampshire, where she had consistently trailed Sanders, who hails from adjacent Vermont. Okay, so, I mean, for all intents and purposes, both of these polls are solid as far as their methodology and their general reliability. They cancel out each other.
Right.
And the Emerson poll cancels out the CNN poll. So, I mean, if you're looking at any poll, any one poll, you're not going to get a very accurate read on what's going to happen in that particular race.
Yeah.
You have to look at the averages. You have to look at the reliability of the polls. And you have to look, quite frankly, you have to look at Nate Silver.
Yeah.
Okay. Who, by the way, is showing Bernie Sanders now with a 57% chance of winning New Hampshire to Clinton's 43%.
Yeah.
Where Sanders is now in the polling average, according to Nate Silver, leading 51.2% to Clinton's 40.2%. So there's that too.
Sure.
But the real test, as you said, is going to come down to the Nevada caucus, South Carolina primary, and now they're looking ahead to the Florida primary on March 15th. And there's the California primary in June. I got to get registered to vote out here.
Huh.
I haven't registered to vote yet.
And did you know, just out of curiosity, since this is a thing that's being circulated a lot today, did you see Bernie's campaign ad?
Yes. Yes, I saw that.
Very good.
Effective ad. Very effective ad.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's face it. As soon as I heard the music, I'm like, oh, great. It's 1967. All right, awesome. But to his credit, it's a really, really, really good campaign ad.
Yep.
You know, it has this whole bringing America together feel. It has this whole sort of, you know, kind of upbeat, hopeful, powerful thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice the one thing it's missing?
What's that? Black people.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sanders. I thought I saw Bernie Sanders in it.
No, I mean Bernie Sanders saying something.
Aside
from, I'm Bernie Sanders and I support this message.
That's right.
Because one of the problems with him is you can capture little instances once in a while of him smiling and looking hopeful. Good luck getting it for longer than a couple of seconds while he's talking.
By the way,
credit. Because Bernie is just, the whole world's coming to an end and we got to tear the whole thing down and Jackie Mason. Angry Jackie Mason.
That's right. Got to get that ant. I'm the Aardvark. I'm going to get the ant. I'm going to touch on the ant.
Got to get the ant. Exactly.
And did you see, I mean, credit where credit is due. Have you seen the animated GIF where Bernie Sanders is scaring the hell out of John Heilman? Where they're sitting at a one-on-one interview in two different chairs. John Heilman's the partner of Mark Halperin. They do all those terrible politics books.
Yeah.
You know, Game Change and all that crap. And, you know, John Heilman's sitting across from Bernie Sanders and they're doing an interview. And then suddenly Bernie Sanders jumps up and tries to scare him.
Yeah.
And then the text for the meme pops up and says socialism. Like he's shouting socialism. And then John Heilman leaps and is startled. Really, really funny GIF. Maybe I'll post it on the podcast page. We're going to take a one last break, actually, and come back and with more show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Winging, bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know something? I had no idea that bitter, clinging, proud clingers thing had actual rhythm to it. It's like matching up with the music perfectly.
I know. I'm actually looking forward to the Gregory brothers taking that speech and, songifying it, basically auto-tuning the hell out of it.
Yeah. Bitter clinging, proud clingers. I love that. So much goodness in the Sarah Palin. We're going to get lots of Sarah Palin over the next few weeks because she's going to be stumping for Trump.
Of course she is. Because she has to be. She has to be, you know, she has to do that because this is what the whole, this is the entire motive behind this is for her to just be able to be in the spotlight again.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, this has become a theme on the show. You know who's become a voice of reason in all of this? I mean, it's shocking. This guy has become a voice of reason. Lindsay effing Graham.
Sure, Miss Lindsay.
Miss Lindsay is absolutely, I mean, I have to admit, I mean, I disagree with most of his politics, but I got to admit, over the last 6 or 8 months that we've been talking about Lindsey Graham on the show, I've kind of become a Lindsey Graham fan.
Sure.
And again,
he is funny.
I don't like his politics. I would make that abundantly clear. I disagree with his politics, especially like his views on reproductive rights and foreign relations and, you know, things like war.
You know why? Because he's just an old school Republican.
Yeah.
And I may disagree vehemently with them, but you can sit down and talk to them.
I know.
That he's quite frankly, he's Republican establishment. He's old school Republican establishment.
Yeah. And he seemed like he would be just a pleasant guy to hang around with. And I know that's not an accurate gauge.
Oh, my God, totally.
I would never vote for the guy.
I want to go to his Clay Shaw parties.
I know. Oh, my God, that is brilliant. Where he's wearing the full body silver makeup.
Yep, because you know he has those.
The Clay Shaw parties. Oh, my God, that is brilliant.
This might be, by the way, this might be the most movie references for me in one show.
I know. Jesus. David Ferry there with Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Clay Shaw.
Telling you.
Grabbing each other by the nuts.
Yep.
Talking about taking out Castro. Jesus Christ. All right. So Lindsey Graham said that choosing between Trump and Cruz is like choosing between being shot or poisoned. Effing brilliant. Lindsey Graham just went off on this rant about the Republican field, and it is awesome.
Is that the only way we lose this election is to nominate somebody that cannot grow the party's vote among minorities, young women, and the coalitions we need to win.
I know how to grow someone's minority vote, if you know what I mean. Takes lots of strength.
Strength.
My minority vote is growing right now. As I'm talking to you, my minority vote is growing.
I'm changing my initials from LG to BBC. Ladies and gentlemen.
The idea that you know that just kills me. It's so
yeah, it's like I'm a complete porn neophyte. I don't know terms like BBC.
Oh, man, yeah.
Here's
dude, I'll tell you. Have I told you the story yet? Do I have to do it on the after party?
Well, if it's porn related, maybe we wait for the post-mortem show or the after party. Up to you.
My body is a wreck right now. Just a wreck. Just a freaking wreck.
Why?
They started me on these shots.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm like I'm an 18-year-old boy again.
So what?
Sucks.
You've been pursuing BBC?
I have not been pursuing BBC, but
well,
just,
you know,
just all of a sudden it's like, porn is fun again.
Yes.
And having a lot of sex is fun again.
Yeah. Yeah. Porn is fun.
Having a load of sex is fun.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, get it. Here's Lindsey Graham talking about BBC. No, I'm kidding. There's Lindsey Graham talking about the, Republican field.
If you nominate Trump and Cruz, I think you get the same outcome. You know, whether it's death by being shot or poisoning, does it really matter? I don't think the outcome will be substantially different. Here's my take. Dishonest, which is Hillary Clinton in the eyes of the American people, beats crazy. I think Donald Trump's domestic and foreign policy is gibberish. I think Ted Cruz has a reputation of being ideological to a fault. And that when it comes to problem solving, he will have a very difficult time proving that he is a problem solver. Mm. When it comes to the immigration issue, he has doubled down on a line of attack that's hurt us with Hispanics. I think he would be easy prey to basically stereotype as being too rigid to be president. I think that is no exceptions for rape and incest will be a tough sell with young women. I'm proudly pro-life, but most pro-life people have an exception for rape and incest. He does not. So that entire package of Trump and Cruz, in my view...
He just said... he just said package.
Strength.
That entire package.
BBC. You guys love it. Okay. All right, now that I'm done being a child.
Would make it possible for her, if she's the nominee, or Bernie, to win an election they should lose. And if you take those two off the table, dishonest loses to normal. And I think Bob Dole's concerns about Ted Cruz, I share. I don't know to the extent of the loss, but I just really do believe that he would be easily demagogued, not demagogued, he'd be easily portrayed as somebody not ready to be president of the United States, not having the temperament, the judgment. And what has he done as a senator? He's best known for running down the Republican Party, not building up the country.
And Senator, at the Emergency Services yourself, can I ask if you have any thoughts about Sarah Palin's linking?
Oh, here we go, on Sarah
Palin. Record on veterans with her son's... mental health issues that he may have incurred after the service.
I think that the VA needs to be fundamentally transformed. We're trying to do that. I like Sarah Palin, but I'm not going to blame President Obama for the post-traumatic stress disorders that our soldiers may face. I just think in a bipartisan fashion, we need to deliver better services to these folks.
He is utterly reasonable.
Yep.
Which is probably why he can't be president right now. But I take what he said about the rigidness, and I also transfer that over to one of the problems that I've had with Bernie for so long, which is that Bernie is so rigid. That is his whole thing.
Yep.
His whole thing is never compromise. It is absolute purity. And that to me, first of all, I'm not sure that's something I want in a candidate, but I also think that that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
because you have to compromise. You have no choice.
Exactly. What we've witnessed over the years with Obama is that people become very disillusioned very easily when their favorite guy has to compromise.
Yeah.
And because you know what? I mean, frankly.
Yeah, that's it exactly. And you're talking about the people who support Hillary or most politicians. Most politicians will say, all right, look, you know what? That upsets me, but you know that person could have fought harder on that. But all right, you know what? I get it. Live to fight another day. And we got some of what we want. We've got some of what we wanted. That's not what people who support sort of far end of the spectrum candidates, that's not how they behave.
That's right.
The right will lose its mind if the establishment – or not the establishment now, but now the anti-establishment, the farther right, will lose their mind if they give so much as an inch to Barack Obama or whoever the next president is, if that president happens to be Democratic.
Yeah.
And the people on the left, the Bernie people, it's built into the DNA of this campaign that they will go freaking nuts if Bernie has to compromise.
By the way, just one last thing real quick before we wrap up the show. Did you see this Carly Fiorina story today where she ambushed these kids with, oh my God.
What an
Yeah. The
That could actually be the most despicable thing that we've seen so far on the campaign trail.
Yeah. I mean, the headline
is saying something.
Carly Fiorina accused of ambushing children for anti-abortion rally. This is like this picture of Carly Fiorina standing in front of a giant poster from the Iowa Right to Life group. And it's a photo of an unborn fetus. And then there are all these kids sitting around with microphones in front of them.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they're facing the other. They're not looking at the unborn fetus. But
if
the story goes...
If I were one of those parents, I would sue her.
Yeah.
I would sue the shit out of her. And I would have that lawsuit filed by tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah, totally. By the way, on this page, I'm looking at... screw me. I'm looking at The Guardian right now for this Carly Fiorina story. There's a big red alert. Sanders leads Clinton in Iowa by 8 points in new poll. With, like, no mention of the other poll, by the way.
Of course not.
Anyway, so Carly Fiorina has been accused of ambushing a group of children.
Well, important thing, folks, let's take a second here.
Okay.
Important thing to know about the way that the political media operate.
Yeah.
They love a story.
Yes.
And one candidate who just trounces his or her way to victory is not a story.
It's all
conflict
about the drama.
Is a story. Yeah, so even if even mainstream outlets that don't really have a dog in this fight one way or the other, they're going to support Bernie right now because Bernie is challenging the front runner.
That's right.
A story.
Makes
That's
for a good
why
narrative.
It matters.
Yep. Exactly. All right. So this Carly Fiorina story, she's been accused of ambushing a group of children after she ushered preschoolers who were on a field trip to a botanical garden into an anti-abortion rally in Des Moines. On Wednesday, the former Hewlett-Packard chief executive embarked on a day of campaigning across Iowa in an attempt to boost her ailing presidential campaign. The alleged ambush occurred when Fiorina hosted a Right to Life forum at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden, entering the rally before a crowd of about 60 people. She directed around 15 young children towards a makeshift stage.
Jesus.
The problem one parent
said. What a monster.
I mean, what a ghoul. The problem, one parent said, was that the children's parents had not given Fiorina permission to have their children sit with her in front of a huge banner bearing the image of an unborn fetus while she talked about harvesting organs from aborted babies. The kids went in there to see the plants, said Chris Beck, the father of four-year-old Chatham. Such a douchey millennial name, Chatham. One of the children Fiorina appeared with. She ambushed my son's field trip. Fiorina has made abortion a central plank of her campaign, seizing on videos distributed by anti-abortion group, blah, 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 blah. Well, if she was really trying to be more ghoulish than she had been before by lying about the videos, and job well done, Carly.
Yep.
All right, we got lots more to talk about on the post-mortem show. Please support us at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month. Supports the show for $1 a month, 12 cents per episode of the show. I think everyone can do that. Everyone can spare $1 a month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. And you can hear the post-mortem show. If you sign up at $5 or more, you get the post-mortem show. If you sign up at $10 or more, you get the after party and the post-mortem show. If you sign up at $15 or more, you get the post-mortem show. You get the after party and you get an uncensored, commercial-free version of this show you're listening to right now. It's a bargain at twice the price. We pass savings along to you. All right, more news next week on Tuesday about Bernie v. Hillary, dawn of losing the general election. And, of course, more from Sarah Palin. We'll see you on the after party on Friday, folks. Bye-bye.
Right wing and bitter clinging proud clingers.